Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. This week, I am visiting with fitness professional Peter San Nicolas, and among other things, we're going to explore the extraordinary level of customer experience, not service, customer experience that Peter ensures that his clients receive every single day, and why his customer base is so intensely loyal to him and his facility during recessionary times. Times are bad. We all know this. I know Peter through the Todd Durkin Mastermind Group, which is a very elite group of fitness professionals. I'm not a fitness professional, but I work in the group on the technology side of it. And Peter's is a truly inspiring story about drive, dedication, entrepreneurism, and creating a customer experience that keeps people coming back to his facility time and time again. So, Peter, welcome to the show. And before we get started, can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your history in the fitness industry?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Denise.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Well, it started when I was 11 years old. My mom, who passed away many years ago, she bought me a weight set. And I was, as a young man, going through those hormonal changes. I had a lot of pent-up energy, so she wanted to point me in the right direction and get rid of some of that energy. I was always into physical activity, riding bikes, skateboards, soccer. But when she bought me that weight set, I was determined to put all of those concrete plates, those weights that were wrapped in plastic, I wanted to be able to lift all of them. So I started at 11, so 6th grade, maybe 7th grade. And that's how it all started. From there, I outgrew that. I was able to lift them all within a year or so and got a membership at Ramona Fitness Center, which is now my business. Started working out here at 12, and now I'm 34, and I've been here for a very long time. Started out as a member. I actually have my membership card from 1993 or 89. I can't even remember. I think it's 93. And I keep it in my wallet just as a reminder where I started. So from there, working out at the club, I got into bodybuilding. I wanted to take it to the next level. And at the time, the big bodybuilders at the time were Lee Haney and a guy named Flex Wheeler. And these guys were just in awesome shape. They were big and muscular. And that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do with my life is be a bodybuilder. And so I entered my first competition at 14, and I took second out of two. It was a small show, but it was my first one, so that was a good start. And then from there, I entered about 10 shows and won a bunch of different ones, Teenage Orange County and San Diego and the border states. And at 16 years old, I decided I wanted to work at the gym. So I put, at that point, they didn't ask for resumes or work permits. And I just said, hey, I'd like to work here. The person that ran the club at the time, Jim Rice, one of my mentors and friends, he was in my wedding. He wanted to hire me, but the old owner, he was like, oh, this guy's just a musclehead. All he does is work out. Wow. He's not going to be a good employee. And he
pushed
for me. I
guess there is that stigma, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he pushed for me, and I got hired here at 16. So I bought my first job, and it's been great. I went to San Diego State for marketing and learned some things on how to run a business, how to sell and market and advertise and promote and those four P's. of marketing, product placement, promotion, and price. They're still drilled into my head. But it started with a weight set in the backyard, and it went from there. I bought the club at 23 years old. Fortunately, after my mom passed, she left a little bit of money, and my wife had a great job, and it was before the – it was actually during the time that the market was really climbing in terms of housing prices. Mm. We bought our house before that. Equity had grown. My wife had a good job. I was working at the gym again. I had left and come back, and we were able to pull out money from the house. All I did my last year at San Diego State was write business plans.
Mm.
So I wrote a business plan. I had some money set aside. The old owner wanted to sell, and I wrote this plan. It was 80, 90 pages, bounds, color, graphs, charts, everything I was taught at San Diego State. 23 years old, I shopped it to like six banks, got turned down five or six times,
oh.
And finally, this one bank, Valley Independent Bank at the time, a lady named Sonia, she saw that I had a good plan and the business was profitable. My wife had the job that was, you know, paying the bills. So she gave me an $850,000 loan at 23 years old,
wow.
SBA loan. And I bought the property, bought the business, had to, you know, work some of the numbers with the owner. And that's what I wanted to do from the time that I started working at the gym. I wanted to own my own gym. And if it was Ramona Fitness Center, great. If it's another gym, that's fine too. If I had to start my own, mm-hmm. I wanted to do it. And I actually have a journal entry when I was in high school in my English class, and I looked back at it, and it said, I was like 17, I'm going to own my own gym one day. So it started with a passion of fitness and wanting to do what I loved. So that's really my story.
And you mentioned something that is so important, I think, and Todd talks about this as well, and that's journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Do
I'm
you
not
journal
the best
still?
At it.
Yeah.
Yes, I actually just bought a new journal. I bought it on Mother's Day. I bought my wife this journal. I looked at it. I'm like, oh, I got to get one of those for myself.
Yeah.
So I'm not the best at it. The it's really great that I have the opportunity to have a column in our local newspaper.
Right.
So for me, that actually is journal time, and I have to do it. I have a deadline. And I get to write about what's going on in my business, in my life, and share that with the community. So that is journal time, too.
And it's there. I mean, you can always refer back to it. You know, I have a digital journal because I'm a techie. I live at my keyboard. I call my keyboard my ABC piano, literally.
Yeah.
I make music on that thing.
Yes.
But I can't write as fast as my brain can spew it out. I just can't. I can type.
Oh, I agree with you.
So I bought years ago, I came across this thing. It's called Dr. David something. I'll have to find it, but it's a digital journal. I downloaded it, had a 30-day trial, paid $49 for it at the end of the 30 days, and I've never looked back. I journal. Whenever I have a thought, I'll just open up my journal while I'm working and go, ooh, this just happened. I can go back, and I'm telling you this for a reason, because I think it's important that people can go back like you did and see this very important journal entry and go, oh, I did it. Or, ooh,
right.
I kind of missed the mark. I think it's important. They're milestones or they're goalposts. You know, you need to have those. You can't. The mind can be a fragile thing. Things just go away. So I can actually go back into my journal for many, many years and pick a date, pick a meta tag, pick an image. You know,
yes.
I can type in a search word, and all of a sudden I've got 40 entries. And I can figure out what I did, where I was doing, what I was thinking, and go, wow, or
yeah.
Oh, crap.
You know, what's really...
Whatever comes up first. You know?
Yeah, what's really great about that, and like with my column, is that, you know, one day, we're not going to be here, but our kids... will be
right.
here. They'll be able to look back at that if they'd like and kind of see what was going on in our lives. And I think mm-hmm. that's just a really awesome thing. And when I'm writing, I'm thinking about my three kids that they'll be able to look at this someday.
And, you know, that's how so much of our history has been passed down. It's not necessarily oral history. It's your documentation, letters that were written and journals and postcards even. So I think it's very important to journal if you, you know, if you can. I think it's a great tool. And I don't use it just because I want to, you know, spout about how bad my day was or how great my day was.
I use mine
as a tool. You know, I can go back and go, wow. Or, whoop, need to tweak that, need a little work, or woo. I mean, my journal elicits all kinds of responses, and I'm sure your column does as well. You can go back and a year and go, woo, lots of good things happened since then.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think it's a great, great tool. So I know we have a lot to talk about, and I don't want to take up all of your time here, but journaling to me is just very, very important. Let's talk about the key things that are so important to how you conduct your business. I mean, you don't just get up every day without a plan, do you?
No. Okay. Well, there may be one day or two. But number one, passion begins with purpose. So we have to have a purpose. Why are we doing these things? And when people come into the gym and they come to me for personal training – or just to sign up, we need to find a reason. And when I ask people, what's your reason for losing that 20 or 30 pounds? Well, I just want to get in better shape. Mm-hmm. I want to look better. They give me superficial reasons, but we need to find what the real reason is. Is it because I want to get back into those jeans I wore in high school and I felt so good when I wore those? Or is it, I have a vacation, or I have a wedding coming up? It's not just to lose 20 or 30 pounds. We need to find what that real reason is, because that real reason will keep us motivated to push on. And we have a competition called The Biggest Winner. And, again, this is from part of the Todd Durkin Mastermind group. Todd had come up with the name Biggest Winner. And we've implemented that program, and we've been able to help about 1,000 people over the last few years lose 10,000 pounds. I mean, thousands of pounds. And it's an exercise that we do at the beginning because, yeah, they want to win the $2,500, but, okay, why do you want to lose the weight and what are you going to do with that money? And we have people write on a 3x5 card what their reason is. And I encourage everybody that's listening to do the same. What is your reason for getting up every day? What is your reason specifically for being in better shape? And some people write, I want to be able to chase my grandkids or even my great-grandkids around. And if I'm not in better shape, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to spend that time with my kids or grandkids. So write on a 3x5 card what your reason is, and then on the back side, put a picture of that reason, a visual, so you can see it. And we actually did a promotion where you wore a lanyard with that reason on it. When you came into the gym, you need to have that lanyard on to remind yourself why you're pushing. My sister, who is the manager of the club here and just does an awesome job with marketing and training and staff training, I hired her when she had maybe two or three times set foot in a gym. But I needed someone that I could trust, someone that I knew could work hard. She was the salutatorian in high school. She had like a 4.2 grade point average. She was so smart, and I knew I needed her help. And she came into the gym probably 190 pounds, never worked out. So on her reason, she had lost 45 pounds. She had a picture of herself when she started working at the gym. And on the other side, she said, I think her reason was just not to go back to that way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a reminder for her. And we show it to people, and people can't even believe, oh, that's you?
And she, I know. I've seen her in videos, and she's tiny.
Yeah. And yeah, she worked. She was one of the managers at Kinko's, which is now FedEx, I guess, FedEx Copies. And I needed her here, and she's done an awesome job. So finding your reason, people need to do that, and that's how the passion begins, to push on each day, whether it be fitness, business, or just your personal life? What is your purpose?
Well, to me, those three are not inseparable.
No, I agree.
So if you're not fit and you're not feeling well, it's hard to really live in the moment, live in the present, and do your business and, you know, be present with your family.
Yes.
So every day, when people come in, now, are they still wearing these lanyards, or is that just part
now
of
it's
that?
Just, it's just a campaign that we'll run every now and then, or
okay.
It's at the beginning of our six-week-long Biggest Winner program.
Right.
Yeah. And that was brought on, actually, by another mentor of mine, Thomas Plummer. He is a fitness industry leader and really showed me a lot of systems and a lot of numbers on programs and products on how to better my business. I wouldn't have the business that I have today if it wasn't for Tom Plummer. He had spent time away from seminars helping me out on purchasing equipment, and that's from Tom. It's his Find Your Reason campaign, and it's just been it's been really beneficial. I try to bring it up once a year, either in my mm-hmm. column or at the club.
Well, and you bring up a very important part, part of being in business, and that is, to craft your business, to create the business that, number one, you want, number two, that, your clientele really, really needs, and number three, to be profitable. I see no reason at all to run a business that doesn't make a profit.
Oh,
but,
no.
And a lot of people do it unwittingly, unknowingly, or... Yeah, they just don't know how to run a profitable business. I'd really like you to touch on that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got five keys to killing it as an entrepreneur, a manager, or an employee. So we'll definitely touch on that, but I like to start with my first point on this is it's not about the money. So it starts with your purpose and becomes a passion. And... we can't just focus. Yes, we're going to focus on the numbers, but if all we did was focus on the numbers and we have maybe a down day, that could get us down and get us off track. So we need to focus on the process. I'm a golf nut. I love golf. I love watching it. I actually have a tournament I'm going to play in this weekend, and that's one of the things that they talk about is focusing on the process. So if it's, step up to the ball, you can't focus on, am I going to win? Am I going to hit this out of bounds? Am I going to shank it? Which, if you don't know what that word is, if you're a golfer,
no.
You definitely know. You have to focus on your pre-shot routine and how you're going to set up to the ball, your swing thought, your tempo, and just focus on the process of doing it. So when it comes to business, we have to focus on the things that we know work.
Mm-hmm.
And the systems that we have in place, and not just focus on the money. The money is definitely important. We have to be profitable,
absolutely.
Like you said.
But it shouldn't be the end-all and be-all. You have to create an environment where people want to be there and they want to spend the money that it takes to get them where they need to be, because let's face it, they're coming to you because they need to. It's all about them. It's not about you, is it? It's all about them.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
Without that in play, you're just not going to make them happy enough to come back, and your business will suffer.
Yes. Well, in results, obviously, clients or members, they have to have results, and we have certain systems in place for that. We have six elements that we can maybe talk about later. I want to kind of go over these. There's a couple other points when it comes to having a business that is profitable. I remember when I was working here at the gym, the owner, he only came into the gym, and this is, during his last, 6 years of ownership, he only came in to pay bills and to do deposits at the bank. That was it. And for me, no, I don't work 7 days a week like I did when I first bought the gym. I was working 70, 80 hours a week. I feel like I have to have balance now with my kids. But as the pastor of my church, Charlie Youngkin, here in Ramona, Mountain View Community Church, he has a saying that he taught his boys. He has three boys. They're all grown now, all about my age or a little bit older. And he calls it continuity of presence. He needs to, as a father and as a family, they need to be at the dinner table, just as I strive for that. Mm-hmm. Almost every day of the week, we sit down at the dinner table and have dinner together. Not at the TV. No, we turn the TV off. Everything's off. We sit down at the table, the five of us, and we eat dinner. Now, in business, we need to have that same as entrepreneurs or managers or owners need to have that same continuity of presence where we have every Wednesday, 10 o'clock, manager meeting. Every Wednesday, 3 o'clock, staff meeting with everybody, salespeople, counter people. And then we also have a trainer meeting, and I'm at those. And no, again, I'm not here 78 hours a week, but I'm here. I'm training clients 20 hours a week. I'll be behind the counter making smoothies for people if my counter people need some help. So as a business owner, you can't be an absentee owner and have a business really that's growing. The next point
you've lost your passion, haven't you?
Oh, I guess.
I mean, if
absolutely.
You're just showing up to collect money and spend money, you're pretty much out of it, I would think.
Yeah, and the old owner, that's his decision. If he wanted to run it like that, he was making enough money from it. He had a couple other gyms that he was making some money there, so that was his choice. Fitness wasn't his passion anymore. He had some health issues, couldn't quite do it like he used to. Had cancer, and I owe a lot to him. He made it where we were able to buy this from him. He helped out, carried a note back, and
you were very young.
Yeah.
He must have had an awful lot of faith in you to do that, because that's a very tender age. I know.
You remember.
But he watched you. I know.
Yeah.
But he had the opportunity to watch you grow. So I mean, it seems like it was just kind of a really pivotal moment for all of you.
Yes. And, he, like I said, he was gone. He didn't have systems in place. Mm-hmm. But for me, not working 78 hours a week, not being here every single day, we have to have systems in place. So when the management team isn't here, we know that these other staff members, which make this business, that they know what to do and how to do it. One of our biggest systems is what we call the steps of the sale. Right when somebody walks into the door of our business, 3 feet from the door as they're walking in, the front counter person comes out around the counter to greet that person. And we just have a protocol, a getting to know you sheet, where these questions we ask so we can get to know them, show them how we can help them, because, again, like you said, it's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go on a tour of the club, and we have 12 stops on the tour. So the systems, they're the same every time. And you can think of businesses out there that have good systems. You go to a Starbucks anywhere, and you're going to get the same drink at the same temperature, probably made close to the same amount of time. And they're going to put your name on the side and check off those things. They have all those systems in place. And that's what I find with a lot of small business owners. I'm not saying just, health club personal trainers, but any business. The town that I'm in is kind of a smaller town. It's rural and a 2-lane highway to get in and out, about 20 miles from the closest freeway. And a lot of the businesses don't have systems in place, and they have. The owner is behind the counter making the sales, which is great, but they're so tied up, unable to do other things. And I have a feeling it's because they don't have some of those systems in place. And they got to find them somewhere. They got to come up with them, look to industry journals if they have them for theirs. The fitness industry is growing and booming, and there's people like Todd, people like Tom, plenty of people for systems for training, but I'm talking about the sales systems and the systems where the front counter people and the staff members know exactly what to do and just do it the same every time.
And that makes sense. I mean, and we were talking about customer experience as well, not necessarily customer service, which to me are two distinct differently. You know, they're different things. But, you know, just the act of walking around the counter to shake hands and say hello, that's pretty much unheard of these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so.
It's a shame. It's a shame. You know, I think if more people would just, instead of, yeah, I've had experiences where I'll walk in a little, I'm like you, I live in a rural community, and I'll walk into a little store, and they can't be bothered to raise their head, stop chewing their gum, or put the cell phone down to acknowledge that somebody came in their front door. And I have to be honest with you, when that happens to me more than once in the same location, I just turn on my heel and walk out. I don't go back.
Right.
There's too much competition.
I'm sure we're guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. It doesn't happen every single time. But if we have the system in place, when we're coaching the staff members, Tom Plummer has a saying, I think he came up with it, you got to run the plan, not the man. So we have the plan. We're not beating up on that new staff member. We're just explaining to them that this is the system that we have in place, and we need to run the system so we can give that customer experience that we're trying to give. There's so many gyms. I'm in the heart of LA fitness and 24-hour fitness territory. Now we've got Crunch and what's this other one? There's like these $9 a month gyms out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just big boxes. We all have equipment. We all have treadmills, bikes, ellipticals, you know, strength training machines, and even the new cool stuff like the BOSU balls and TRXs and rebounders and all that
and that
fun
box.
Stuff.
I mean, that, what they is that bicycle that. That people want you to get? My trainer tried to put me on a bicycle. I said, honey, I didn't ride one when I was a kid. I'm not riding one now.
No.
She said, but well, you can turn on the TV. I said, I hate TV. I'm not getting on that, and I never would.
Right.
You give me a rebounder, I'm happy. You put me on a bike, and I'm out of there.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is not my favorite activity.
No.
So we have to somehow be different and be better because we all have the same equipment. It's all the same stuff. So it's all about the staff members and the people that are working inside the gym. And then also our members, many times our members will help get people signed up at the gym because they love it.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. Obviously, we have some members that, you know, we got to improve on things for them. But sometimes the members are even selling. There's one lady here, Michelle Hall. She's a great member, been here for quite a while, and she is an intense lady. We love her. She does every competition that we put out there. She calls us her Disneyland. Which, and we love it. And she tells people that come in the door, this is my Disneyland. You've got to sign up here. And she's bringing people in all the time. So that's how we have to differentiate ourselves.
Right,
it's the people,
right.
Not the equipment. It's not the facility necessarily.
Exactly. And one thing that you do, and I saw these in the videos with you and Todd and your sister, I believe, you have child care there, don't you?
Yeah, we have a kids' room, babysitting, I guess you would call it, and it's about 8 hours a day. And we have a video system in there. So with the parents, when they're up on that bike that you just can't stand with the TV attached, they can turn to channel, I think it's 120 or 125, and they can check on their kids downstairs.
Nice.
And so they feel safe. And it's like that room downstairs is like a preschool kindergarten classroom. Amy, who heads up the child care department here at the club, she has a passion for kids, always has. Sunday school teacher at church, and she just does an awesome job making it fun. The kids on Mother's Day, Father's Day, different days like that, they will walk out of there with a craft that they made to give to mom for Mother's Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
So again, it's
a little extra,
the customer service. Yeah, it's customer experience, a little bit extra, and it's just a safe place and a happy place to go. And
yeah.
And so many places are not. And let's face it, you know, people are kind of tightening their belts. I think fitness is my personal opinion. Tightening your belt on your fitness membership is not the smart thing to do. But people, I think, are. They're dropping their memberships or they're going to the $9 one. And I don't see it. But, I mean, I think you'd be better served giving up cable TV and keeping the membership. But people
how about
are going
giving
to
up cigarettes?
There you go.
Have, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
Fast food a little bit.
Yeah, I don't understand smoking. I think I'm too logical and linear. I've never smoked in my life. And I remember when I was in high school, you know, peer pressure, people said, oh, yeah, have a cigarette. And I remember looking at this girl that was handing me a cigarette, and I said, that doesn't make sense. You're putting something on fire in your mouth and sucking it into your lungs. It's not logical.
It's not.
It
not
didn't make a
all.
Lick of sense to me. But, yeah, you're right. So beginning everything you do with purpose, is there anything that we might have missed there? Because I know I'm interrupting you a lot, but this is just so fascinating to me.
No problem. Well, tracking your numbers, knowing your numbers and tracking them, that's critical. It can't, like we said in the beginning, it can't just be about the numbers, but that's how we keep score. It's about
mm-hmm.
helping people, but how do we know if we're doing well if we don't keep score? So we keep score on a daily basis. We have a chart, a whiteboard in the employee office with everyone's numbers on it, club numbers, and there's a specific way how we come up with goals. We use trend, so the last 3 months at least, and find the percentage of hopefully growth, but there may be a little bit of, you know, downturn there, but what mm-hmm. the average growth percentage is. And then we look at history last year, and you could take that a step further and go ahead and do trend, history trend, and then that's how we determine our goal for the month. And we may have to take other things into account, like, okay, we actually had a competitor close down a few years ago, so that month we knew that we were going to have an influx of more members, so we tried to take that into account and increase our goal for that month. But it comes down to every single line item, every single what we call MPC, multiple profit center. There's a benchmark, and that this is another key aspect of setting goals, is you need to know what's out there, what are the best of the best doing. And at one time, the best of the best in the gym industry, not personal training, but gym industry, was $5 per member visit. And what that means is, if I have 100 people come in for the day, I need to do $500 in multiple profit centers, personal training, smoothies, massage, shakes, bars, and it would break down each line item. This is the amount that you need there. Now, I'm fortunate enough, a guy like Tom Plummer is in the industry. He has been doing it for 30 years and has trained up probably 10,000 club owners and has those numbers and that data, so we can base our goals each month off of, again, our trend, history, and mm-hmm. These benchmarks. So if there's a business owner out there that doesn't have a daily goal, a weekly, monthly, annual goal, they need to find internally and then go outside and externally try to find what's a good number to hit. And then you got to push towards it. You just got to keep striving. My sister Nikki, just the other day, end of the month, we got to push. It's not about the numbers. It's about achieving a goal and giving your best just for the sake of giving your best. So, okay, we need three more memberships. Yeah, three memberships, maybe it's not going to make or break us, but we need to strive to give our best and shoot towards that. Those three more memberships, and I think that's what we needed. And I think we got three yesterday.
And that is the way it happens too, isn't it? You know,
yes.
I know a lot of people, and you said something earlier that really grabbed my attention, and that's that, you know, you can't look at what's going on daily, and I'm paraphrasing, you can't look at what's going on that day when you might be having a bad day and just go, oh, geez, I need to tweak my system. You need to focus on kind of the overall progress. And I see
yes.
that time and time again in my industries. And I'll have a client who'll say, okay, I'm my books are not selling today. She's a big seller on ClickBank. And I say, well, okay, but that's just today. And I'm constantly
yeah.
having that talk with her. Look, we have these goals. We have this progress. You know, everything is fine. And I I feel sometimes like I'm babysitting, which, you know, if it's part of my job, it's part of my job. But I think, yeah, I don't like it, but it's what you have to do sometimes. But the overall focus on everything, not just that one day, I think is such an important piece of information for people to have.
Well, if you don't know,
every day is a 24-hour period. The next day is different.
Right.
The day before that was different.
If you don't know your numbers and where you're trying to go, so say we have, this last week we were 5 short. So this week we got to bump that other 5 on top of that, and we have to do this and this. We have, we used to call it our bag of tricks or play of the day, and it's in the file cabinet. They're promotions that, we're running a little bit low on our City Blend Smoothie Cafe, trying to sell a few more smoothies. What can we do to increase that? Well, we got the play of the day. It's a punch card. You buy for $40, you get 10 smoothies or 12 smoothies. It's a discount. You end up getting like 3 for free. Let's bring that promotion out and let's offer that. People are buying smoothies anyway. Let's give them a little discount on it and let's bump up our numbers for the day and achieve that goal. So at the end of the month, it's the last day of the month, we don't have to play catch up and now we have to sell this amount.
Right. Well, you know who does a good job with that? I believe it's Chick-fil-A, and they do it through text messaging. You know, they know that around, I think you and I have talked about this just really briefly, but around 3 o'clock when, you know, their lunch has ended and everybody's kind of back at work and their employees, you know, are standing around just going, now what? They'll send out a text message and say, listen, you know, we're giving you, just a reminder, you know, we've got this, or we're giving you $5 off of whatever it is. But they'll send out periodically these little text messages, and I mean, their drive-thru fills up rather quickly.
Yeah.
So something to think about, you know.
Oh, that text messaging industry, is the way to go. People are always checking their texts. They're not
always
checking their email.
That's
and
exactly right.
Voicemail, I can't stand it.
Nope.
So they're not
my mother called
that.
And said, "You get my message?" I said, "No." I saw the phone blinking, but I didn't check it.
Right. Well, let me give you my last key to killing it, and it's the team. I'm absolutely nothing without the team that I have here. I can't be here every hour of the day. We open at 5 a.m. We close at 10 p.m. That's a lot of hours, and I did used to work that 5 to 10 p.m. shift. But we have to have an awesome team, and we do. I mean, if you had 10 people moving 1,000 pounds, it's going to move a lot faster than one person moving that 1,000 pounds. So we have to spread it out a little bit. And everybody has their job and their role, and the team is huge. I have the greatest ethical, honest, hardworking staff members over the last 2 to 3 years. I actually even had, he might be listening right now, Daniel Dyer and his brother John. I hired John a few years ago. This guy just worked so hard. When I wasn't here, he was still working hard. Met his family, great family, and we said, hey, you got a brother that works like you, we'd love to have him. We hired his brother right after he left, and he didn't disappoint. So our staff members are just awesome people. They're passionate about fitness, and they're passionate about people. And then the other part of the team is the Todd Durkin Mastermind Group, my team members. In the group, we exchange information. When something's, you know, we're struggling with something, like one of the teammates just had a trainer quit after she had flown her to a seminar, paid for her, you know, room and board and the seminar and the flight, and the lady quit. And so we're trying to encourage her to take care of her customers. And that's the most important part of the team is the customer, because we can't do any of this without the customers exchanging their money for our service and for our products. So the team is huge. Starts with the staff to those outside sources like Todd, and then the customers themselves.
Well, and you make a very good point. It's very, I love the idea of mastermind groups. I'm part of some. I'm creating one now for myself. It's very easy to get caught up in your own vision of what you're doing and start to work in a vacuum. It's just too easy to do that. And if you can, you know, go to outside, you know, people, not necessarily, when I say outside, I mean they're just not standing in front of you, but they're in the same industry and they're, you know, they're so willing. This is what I do know about entrepreneurs. They'll help you. They'll help you at midnight. They'll help you at 3 in the morning. They're gracious, they're generous, and they want you to succeed.
Yeah.
And those are the people you need to seek out.
Yeah.
You know, people who are genuinely entrepreneurial minded, and ask them for help. And a little old man told me this years ago, Peter, he said, never ask. He said, when you need a favor or you need help, ask a busy person. And I thought he was nuts. Turns out he wasn't. You know, I did. Absolutely correct. You know, you don't want to ask the guy leaning against the lamp pole to help you. You want somebody who's already busy and engaged and enthused, you know, to give you a helping hand if you need one. So
yeah.
I love the idea of mastermind groups. So I know we wanted to talk, too, about the six elements to worthwhile wellness. That's a huge topic, and I'm really anxious to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, number one, it starts with, this is not like, you know, rocket science, you know, ground-shaking information. This is the basics, but sometimes we got to get back to basics. Just like in sports, you got to get back to basics sometimes. And number one starts with food intake. There's so many diets out there, an amazing amount. We got South Beach, cabbage soup, Atkins, paleo, low gluten, all these different diets that people are doing. And primarily I'm talking about weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to weight loss, the bottom line is calories in and calories out. Yes, there's an optimal way to eat. We could eat all organic, no preservatives, raw fruits, vegetables, and milk. There's an optimal way to do it. But when it comes to weight loss and the proper food intake for weight loss is creating a caloric deficit. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It's only exchanged. Our bodies need a certain amount of energy in the form of calories. Let's just say it's 2,000 calories to maintain. If we want to lose, we just have to eat less than that. Preferably, you know, if you're 2,000 calories, if you ate 1,500, you're going to lose 1 pound per week. It's simple math. And the ways that we can track that, we have something called the Body Bug. They wear it on the Biggest Loser show. We call it the Big Winner.
I've seen that. Yeah.
They wear it on their arm. It's an armband, and it measures how many calories you burn. You can also input what you eat on your iPhone or on the website. Then you input your weight loss or gain, along with body fat percentage. And this tool, because most people underreport their calories, my experience is 50%. They think they're eating 2,000, they could be eating 3,500. The registered dietitian, American Dietetic Association, they say 30%. I have seen mostly 50%. People forget. So this will it'll tell me as a trainer how many calories someone is really eating as opposed to what they're logging. It's algebra, X plus Y equals Z. Z is weight loss or gain. X is how many calories they burn. We only need the other variable. And it works backwards, and it will really tell me how much they're eating. So the first element is food intake. Second element is going to be cardiorespiratory training. And yes, you and I hate sitting on the bike, even if there's a TV in front of us.
Sorry.
Most people think that's cardio. And, yeah, it can be. It can be cardiorespiratory, get the heart and lungs and the vascular system in better shape. It doesn't have to be that. It could be going for a hike. It could be outdoors. It could be playing a little football or soccer or tennis. Anything that's just really going to get the heart rate up just a little bit and get you moving and the blood flowing. What's really interesting is we'll have people on the treadmill. They've been there for years. They've never lost any weight. And this is what happens. Your body adapts. You burn less calories because you can become more efficient at that movement. Mm-hmm. And somebody could be on there for an hour and burn 100 calories because they're just they're a professional treadmill walker. So I'm not big into spending a lot of time on the cardio. It doesn't need to be, you know, 45 minutes, 3 days a week. You know, shorten it up, mix it up, change the intensity level.
Well, Peter, before we get too far ahead, I need to ask you, rebounder, mm-hmm. is that cardio? Because I have
be
a rebounder.
Sure.
I have
you
a knee deck rebounder. You jump.
You could
tilt it
up. Oh, yeah. Well, it's great. If someone has any back issues, disc issues,
yeah.
which I have, running, it really aggravates my neck. So on the rebounder, if you got it flat and you're jogging on there and bouncing, that can be less impact. So that can definitely be cardiorespiratory.
I love that thing. I've had a NEDAC rebounder for years. They're expensive, but they're very sturdy. And I'll tell you what, if my house burns down, I grab the cats and I grab the rebounder.
Good for you.
And my computer.
Yes.
But, you know, I've got my priorities straight, but I love that thing. And it's fun. I mean, you get to get on that thing. It's in my office, actually. And, you know, every 15, 20, 30 minutes, whenever I see that I'm blurring, because your brain can only function, you know, steadily for just so long before you're reading the same page over and over again.
Yeah.
I'll get up, you know, go dig a hole in the yard, take the dog outside, because I work from my home. And invariably, I'm on that rebounder, and I'm giggling my full head off, and then I go back to work. And I'm happy,
perfect.
And everything is good. So,
releasing those endorphins, for sure.
Yeah,
that's one
yeah.
of the benefits of cardiorespiratory. Well, my next key is dietary support. You could call it supplementation. I feel that everyone should take a multivitamin just because we tend to eat the same foods over and over.
Right.
All multivitamins are not created equal, so go online and take a look. You know, we're big on the Advocare and the Apex multivitamin. They're just, the absorption is superior. Actually, compared to three of the top multivitamins, you're actually the top ones that usually pop into mind. We're not going to discuss them and tell the names, but you absorb about 20% of those.
Right.
But you can get them in monster-sized bottles. And one of our multivitamins, you're actually absorbing 70% within the first hour and then another 10% in the following hours. So dietary support is huge. Paula Owens, who wrote the book The Power of Four, she's more of a holistic health, you know, practitioner, and she goes over supplementation too. She might be somebody great to have on the show too.
Yeah, I know
Paula
who
Owens
she
is.
Yeah,
she's such a great lady. We sell her book here in the club, and she goes over a lot of those more holistic things.
Mm-hmm.
Resistance training, not resistance to training, but resistance training is my fourth key, and you could use body weight, free weights. Tubing, cables, the benefit here is to increase or keep that lean body mass on. I'm 205 pounds. I have about 185 pounds of lean body mass. I burn over 4,000 calories a day, and it's because of that lean body mass. So I get to eat a large amount of food each day and maintain weight, and that's because of the weight training that I do. There's all different ways of doing it, but anything that's going to, you know, create a little bit of soreness in your muscles. Your muscles are going to repair themselves and either maintain or grow a little bit, and that way your lean body mass will go up. And this fifth component, now that I'm in my mid-30s, I know it's not very old, but I've been doing this since I was 11. My fifth component is recovery. I think this is huge. Foam rollers, I'm not sure if you've heard of a foam roller. But,
I have, because I have the Impact Body Plan by Todd Durkin, and he uses that in the book.
Perfect. That's actually in my sixth point. I talk about that.
All right.
The foam roller is huge. Now, I'm going to give everybody a quick and easy way to make their own foam roller. Go to the hardware store, pick up, I think it's 6-inch, black ABS plastic. See if they'll cut you off a 3-foot piece. Now, this is an intense foam roller, but it'll never break down. If you have a yoga mat, you wrap it with the yoga mat and put some, you can put duct tape around it. We use a black athletic tape. just so it gives a little bit of a cushion. And mm-hmm. now you have a foam roller to help release some of those knots and adhesions in your muscles, in the fascia, in the muscles. And that will help create better flexibility, blood flow to the area to repair. This thing will cost you only $20 and it'll last forever. If you want to spend $30-$40, just go down to the sporting goods store and pick up a foam one. This one is harder, but it's never going to break down.
Right.
And there's a saying, for every decade you're alive is a day on the foam roller.
Really?
So, yes. I don't know.
I have not heard that one, I have to say. I thought
yeah,
I knew
so
everything.
So if you're 80 years old, 8 days a week. No, but you should. You know, I pretty much daily, I have two at home, and I have them here at the club. And you got to use a foam roller. And also, if you're not into that and you want to be pampered a little bit, go get some massage therapy. Todd is a massage mm-hmm. therapist. We have great therapists here. There is no substitute for a good massage therapist. They can get in there and release those knots and adhesions. Mm-hmm. And if they're good, they're also going to do some flexibility with you. My last key is professional assistance. To educate is to motivate. I just keep repeating that to myself. To educate is to motivate. Educate yourself with a mastermind or with a personal trainer for those that are trying to get in shape. Yeah, you could do it on your own. Educate yourself with a book then, like Todd Durkin's Impact Body Plan or Paula Owens, or I am going to write a book or my book someday. So
me too.
Educate yourself.
We'll see each other on Kindle soon.
Yes, yes, I love that Kindle. I actually have books that I've bought, you know, hardcover books. It's like, I just rather read it on my iPad. So I bought the same book and put it on my iPad.
I know. I'm guilty. I have about 3,000 books. I have so many books that one entire side of my garage is wall-to-ceiling bookcases. I can't even have them
goodness.
In the house. I have so many. And I have two Kindles. This is how dedicated I am to reading. I'm a voracious reader.
Awesome.
Oh, I have the two Kindles. One, you know, the original one, which, by the way, for those of you who are listening, is great outside. The Kindle Fire, not so much. It has, you know, they
glare.
Can say what they like. It has the glare. And the original Kindle is fabulous for reading in the tub, which is my think tank. So that's where I go. I
That's
do my
great.
Thinking. Listen, I have a little mini recorder in there. I'm reading, I'm thinking, I'm going, oh, God, I just had a brilliant idea, and I can't take a notepad in the tub. So I have a little recorder. It's, you know, this is just how my mind works. But you're right, and, you know, grab your Kindle, grab your book. I'm guilty. I have books out in my garage that I'll buy them on my Kindle. Because it's there. It's just easier, and it's, you know, it's just fun.
It is. You can just take it
educate.
With you wherever you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Educate, educate, educate. And I can't stress that enough. It sounds like you can't either.
Yeah, I always, whenever I come back from a seminar, I'm motivated. The Mastermind group, we have a couple getaways that we do. I come back just, you know, ready to rule the world. and it's so important to educate is to motivate. Do we have time to go over quickly these 8 F's of health?
Yes, please. We have about 8 or 9 minutes, and I would love for you to, and I'll try not to interrupt, I promise.
Well, I first heard of this from Todd, and he got it from Sharma, an author.
Robin Sharma?
He calls them the 8 forms of wealth. Well, I'm in the health industry, so I call them the 8 F's because I changed them all to F's. So number one, and I encourage listeners, get a pen and paper and write down 3 things for each of these areas that you can improve on. Number one for me, and these are in my pretty much my order, my faith. What areas can you do better with your faith? We have a family devotional on Wednesdays. We just started this. That was one way I could increase my faith. If you're not a person of faith, that's where it begins. That's where your purpose begins. You need to explore it.
Mm-hmm.
Visit a church, educate yourself. Like you said something about it not being logical.
Yeah.
Make sure it's logical. Use your mind. I feel God calls us for sure to use our mind. It's not blind faith. So number one, faith. 2 is family. We just got back from a camping trip. My wife grew up with a camping trailer, and they would go to the beach and go to the desert. And we got a camping trailer about 6 years ago. Awesome family time. You're stuck together typically with camping. Something goes wrong. One of the camping times before, my brakes went out going down a hill. I got a flat tire on the trailer. And we remember that. We still had fun, but you're forced to spend time together. So how can you improve your family relationships? So faith, family. Third is fitness. This year, this summer, do one thing, just one thing, that you can be a little bit healthier. If it's making a what we call a better bad choice. If you go to fast food and you eat a cheeseburger, just go with even a fried chicken sandwich is going to be better than that cheeseburger. It's going to be 300 less calories. So with your fitness and your eating, make one better choice. Start walking. Do something with your spouse, like a mountain bike ride. My wife and I are now doing that. So your fitness, do one thing better this year. Your finances. Do you spend more than you make? Put a little bit away for a rainy day. I just, yesterday, signed the papers for my building to refinance. I didn't have to, but rates are lower. I was able to cut 3.5% off of my loan and improve my finances so I could put a little bit more away and save for, I got three kids, they got to go to college. I didn't get scholarships, but hopefully they will. So your finances. What about your friends? You're the average of five people that you closely associate yourself with. So, you know, what does that look like? I heard this, I think, at church. You can't fly with eagles when you hang out with turkeys.
I had some, but my grandmother used to tell me when I was very young, and she was very wise. I didn't know it until I was much wiser. But she would say, honey, water seeks its own level. What does that mean? But now I get it.
Wow. That's a good one, kind of the same, definitely the same concept there.
Yeah.
Now, this next F is function. This was a stretch. My wife thought, well, how does that work? Function. What is your function at work or in your career? How much do you love your job? For some people, they don't really like their job, but they need to at least be thankful that they have one because so many people are out of work.
No kidding.
If you can, educate yourself. There's online school. There's so many of them. Go back to school online at night. If you hate your job, there's no point in spending most of your awake life at a job that you can't stand. But you do have to provide for your family. So, try to work that in, your function. Improve that. Fun. You must have an element of fun in your life. For me, some of the family stuff we do is fun. I love golf, the competitive aspect of that, the bike riding. Get involved in some kind of league, maybe a softball league. We forget to have fun as adults. As kids, that's all it's about, is having fun. But you got to have some fun. And lastly is future legacy. What are you going to be remembered for? For me, my faith, my family, and fitness, those are my big three for my future legacy. And I hope that, people will remember me as someone that helped them out, helped them be a little bit better, and was a good husband and father, and was a good believer in Jesus, because that's number one for me is my faith.
Right.
So those are my 8 F's, kind of adapted from Todd and Sharma. And I thank God for Todd and what he's been able to help me out with, and all my mentors out there. And I appreciate you letting me come on the show today. I am really just honored, and I was so surprised when you called me.
Well, I love to talk with people like you and Todd and anybody in the fitness industry. And it's very, very different from the industries that I'm in. But let me tell you, you two, you and Todd and everybody else in this industry that I work with, you embody the whole mind-body consciousness thing for me. You can't build a business, sustain a business, build a good life, sustain a good life, unless you're really in tune with all of it, your mind, your health, your processes, your systems. And you guys just exemplify that for me, and I'm very excited to have you here. I think I'm probably going to beg you to come back another time because I've still got questions.
Awesome. I'll be happy to come back for sure.
Oh, good. I mean, because it's so, so important. I mean, even though in my industries they're very sedentary, and it's a mistake. I'm passionate about what I do, love to build websites, but I have to get up and move my body constantly. And I'm constantly up and down, up and down, up and down. And, you know, I actually monitored myself one day and figured out that even though I was at my desk for about 10 hours, about four of that was me bouncing around. So,
yeah. Well, you can
you
get
have
those
to pay
little
attention.
Chairs, those chairs that have the stability ball on top. Or even
I
better
know.
Yet, get a bar height table and stand up while you type. We're meant to
Who
be
is it?
Standing.
Who is it that has the, maybe it's Susan Baroshini Moe. Somebody on Facebook has created or is doing some kind of a thing with the treadmill desk, which I don't want.
Oh, gosh,
right
I've seen
I don't
that.
Want
yes.
That.
I
would
think
lose
that
my
it's
mind.
By Woodway Treadmills makes that.
Oh, okay.
Great treadmill.
Yeah. No, I need to be able to focus on what's in front of my eyes. I couldn't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but even just a bar height table, that would work really well. You're on
really?
Your feet. It's amazing how much, well, it's so much better on your body. You're not, you know,
yeah.
crunched up where your hip flexors are tight and your hamstrings. Now you can stand up and be in a position you should be in. Yep.
Hmm. I'm going to have to take one of my computers out to my breakfast bar and see how that works.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be the right height, though.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just right for you.
Yeah, I'll have to experiment. I'm always looking for, you know, more ways to be healthier because I am, you know, in a sedentary industry, even though I refuse to stay sedentary.
Yeah.
So
we have to.
You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
got to refuse.
I refuse. My body's not built for that. I have to move around. My big thing is I go outside and I dig a hole. My yard is gorgeous. Yeah, I'm always moving.
You just dig a hole for
around.
The sake of digging a hole, or what are you digging a hole for?
I dig holes and move things around. I live in the subtropics, basically. I'm in Louisiana, and you can't kill anything down here. I've tried. You just can't. So I dig it up and move it, and you know, even if you poison it, it's like no, I don't think so. It comes right back up. So
oh, goodness, yeah.
I'm constantly moving things around and you know recrafting beds, and it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's good exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, Peter, thank you so, so much. We're a little bit over time, and I really appreciate you coming on and all of the great advice that you gave. The big thing that I wanted to get out of you, and I'm pretty sure we got there, was how you can craft the life that you want, the family that you deeply desire, and the business that you want and love every minute of it. And that passion came through, and I really appreciate you sharing that with our audience.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me again.
Oh, anytime, and definitely I want you to come back, maybe later in the summer.
Okay, we'll
but
do.
But I'll get with you on that, okay? Well, listen, thank you, Peter, and this is Denise Griffiths and Peter San Nicholas, wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.